Praise you, Jesus. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to hit this head on this morning. The Lord woke me up at 12:30. I've been in intercession all night about what is coming on the world. I don't think we even realize how bad it's going to be, guys. And I was interceding for my family. God help our families. You know, we've warned them, warned, told them. You know. But now that it's upon us, it's like real, you know. It's actually about to go down, you know. And I was just praying in the spirit. I knew I was interceding for my family. Waylon. You know. Weeping before the porch and the altar. For the church, the bride. That's been, you know, assaulted on the right and the left with all the lies and propaganda. They don't know what to believe because there's been so much deception, you know, in their churches, the ones they hold trust, you know, and they're just crying out, sitting outside in the stars, looking up at God, His beauty of His creation. Thinking, you know, about all this. But, I'm telling you, bride. I don't know if we've done enough weeping. You know, used to when I would pray, I'd weep all the time. Cry all the time. I remember one time I was in intercession when I was, you know, told y'all I was living in the desert. This was the year before I went to the White House and he, you know, had me all to himself and he wanted to show me that he would take care of me everywhere and anywhere, you know, type of deal. And I was walking through the woods and, you know, I was crying to the Lord. I said, I am sorry the way my people are doing you Americans. You know, and I was talking to him on behalf of my people. I'm just a nobody. You know, I'm just some little country girl from Nashville. You know, that just loves the Lord. You know, like anybody else, I'm just an average Joe here. But God has put the church on me. He did that when I was in Bible college. You know, I told y'all a story about the bride. I'm going to have to mute you. I got to blow my nose. Hold on. Okay. But anyway, so I was out in the woods and I was talking to the Lord and I was like, I'm so sorry about the way that my people are doing you. And, you know, this was back when Obama was president. You know, I wasn't in politics at all. You know, I had no idea God was going to do what he was going to do back then. But it was just me and Jesus, you know, and him taking me through those years of servanthood with those other ministries, and just years of learning, years of healing and deliverance. Remember, because after I finished all my servanthood, he put me under Dr. Morris, and he said, I want you to shut down your ministries and live with him. I want him to go through, to you to go through deliverance. And this was after I had went through that whole summer of repentance. You know, the whole summer of repentance and repenting for everything I could think of, you know. And then serving all them ministries and everything. And I still had to go through, you know, that 4 months of intense deliverance. I went through personal deliverance. And then I went through all of his schools. He had his 4 schools that year. And I was able to help him and serve him as his assistant through those 4 schools. You know, which really taught me a lot about demonology and stuff like that, you know. But after that, I had no idea what was coming. You know, he sent me back home, and then I was able to be with my mom, you know, 6 months before she died. So that was kind of a little gift that he gave me, you know. And then right after that, you know, is when I was doing the 40 days fasting and praying for President Trump. And that's when I was launched, you know, at that point. But I'll never forget that out in the woods, you know, crying out on behalf of my people. You know, because when you realize, like, how everything is happening and how we've done him, you know, looking at it from his point of view, you know, about the world situation. This was back in 2018. And then last night, you know, being outside under the stars, I said, I remember all those times with you with the moon. You know, I've told you guys the story of the moon and how I was riding down the road and how, you know, God brought the moon down to me. Remember that? Some of the craziest stories. But I thought about this. I thought about writing my stories out on the website. Would y'all like that if I did like a blog? If I did 1 story per blog? You know, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be crazy, though, because, you know, people think, who is this woman? Some of the stories I've got to tell. But anyway, so last night, you know, I was really weeping about what's coming because, it's going to be a shift, and it's going to be, you know, some people are going to lose their lives. And it's not funny at all. Anyway, so I have a very sober heart this morning. You know, my heart is still in intercession for people in the country. You know, I love America. This is, and I know you guys do too. This is why I was telling you, you know, don't let the world tell you that you're not a patriot because you didn't vote, you know, or whatever kind of action they think you should be doing as a patriot. Because in the coming days, we know that in 2025, they're going to do a big, massive global campaign, you know, in the United States where they're going to be celebrating America for a year. And I believe they may even make it against the law for you not to. Probably. You know, if we're going to match Hitler, like we've seen so far. But, you know, them seeing you not do it their way. Because you, last night when I was on YouTube, I just did that when I went to the post office, just kind of talked to people a minute. You know, when I was showing that about Hank Kuhneman, you know, with his false prophecy, and he's like, he's telling the church, this is so sad, you know, how, you know, there's going to be a great reset, and it's from God, you know, and God's going to change the educational industry, and he's going to put in all new curriculum, you know, and the church is just cheering him on, you know, and the children, you know, they're going to pledge allegiance to the flag again, you know, and I was sitting there thinking, there is no telling what they're going to do. We already know they're changing the textbooks for the Noahide laws. We already know this. And yeah, they're bringing religion back in, but it's not what Christians want. That's what's so sad. I believe all this now is a setup. You know, they took out religion out of the schools, you know, to give us a good taste of not having God there. And then they're going to be the solution to the problem. They're going to bring it back and shove it down their throats and make them pledge allegiance to a God. But it's not going to be our God. So now you're going to have all these kids confessing with their mouth allegiance. You know, will they even allow them to, you know, bow out and say, you know, it's against my religion? You know, of course, nobody really should be in school right now. It's so satanic and taken over. Much less the jab, you know. But the ones that are none the wiser and have their kids in there and, you know, being subjected to all of this satanic propaganda, like, you know, Dennis says all the time, you know, they're going to be forced with their mouth to pledge allegiance to the beast. You know, it's not going to be a funny thing. And, anyways, you know, Hank Kuhneman's out there, you know, presenting it like it's a God thing. You know, even all them other ones I showed, it's just so deceptive. And I just weep before the Lord about it. God help us and help our families. You know, because I was reading about last night, which we're going to get into because I do have a word for you this morning. Was it Joshua? No, it was Ezekiel. It was Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, you know, to go give a word to his people. And he said, I know your people won't receive it. You could go afar, you know, to another country and they would receive you like everything. But your own people won't receive you. Now, why that is, I don't know. But it's like a principle. It's like your family just don't believe you, you know. And it's like my family. I mean, it seems in the natural, you know, that they don't respect my ministry, period. You know, even when I was in D.C. and I was, the proof was in the pudding. I mean, you know, all them people that mocked me all them years, God showed himself. You know, but it's like they can't even acknowledge, you know, type of deal. But that's your family, you know, like God was explained to Ezekiel. But when you go to a foreign land like me, you know, which I was telling Dennis this, I was like, you know, being here, you know, these people don't really accept me down here in the country. You know, they treat me weird once they find out, you know, who I am and what I do. I mean, it's the truth of it. But when I go to a big city like Houston, Texas, D.C., New York, the doors go wide open. You know, they accept it a lot better than the country, you know, and even the family members and stuff. But we've told our families, we've warned our families, and like I told you, you know, when this first started in 2020, I went around and I sat down with every one of mine. And I told them, y'all know I just left the White House, and you know I just spent a year with this man. So I am telling you as my family members, you know, I love you guys. And I am telling you that what you're seeing on TV is not the truth. You know, God brought me up there supernaturally, $9 in a suitcase. There's no other way this could happen. You know, and God put me in there to show you guys that all that you're seeing on TV is a lie, people. You know, they even bugged me when I was there. They didn't even believe me standing in front of their face. You know, but it's harder for them to receive it from somebody close to them. I don't know. But it's just the way it seems to be. And even God knew that with Ezekiel. And thank you, Dee. I did heed your advice and read Ezekiel 1 and 2, but then I couldn't stop and went on to 3. But like I was saying, the Lord woke me up at 12:30 this morning and told me he wanted to spend time with me. So I've been in intercession all night. I went back to bed and got a couple more hours of sleep. But my heart is very heavy this morning that something really big is about to come. Whether it is the New Madrid fault line blowing or the alien invasion or something, it's going to be very deceptive. It's already deceptive, but you know, and I'm thankful, guys, that we have each other. And I'm very thankful that, you know, we have had this opportunity to be together like this and to seek God together. And yesterday when you guys preached, it was such a blessing. I really loved it. Hearing God come from you guys, you know. I'm all about sharing the platform. I'm all about it. I'm all about sharing. I've been burned many times in the past doing that, you know, but it is what it is. I love having you guys, you know, let God be used because this is not about me. So, next week, not next week because we won't have it, because I can't believe next week's Christmas. And then next week is New Year's. But it's coming in 2025. But I love you guys, and I'm very thankful for this time that we have had together. And I'm thankful, you know, getting to know you guys on a more personal basis. It does take a lot more time, but it's been worth it, you know, because I'm more in your lives, and we have a relationship, and you trust me, and I appreciate that. I really do. And this deal with the crypto, I could not believe yesterday, because I did a little bit of research, because, you know, I got some friends and stuff that are getting in this, and even after I've warned them, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do, and but after researching, I could not believe what I found. I cannot believe the way they are using. See, now it's all making sense at the end. Kim Clement, you know, this guy has been a false prophet from day one. And they have used him till the cows come home. I remember from 2016 on. Y'all gotta remember, I've been in this fight since the beginning. You know, I filmed President Trump in Nashville. I was in the press corps, but I wasn't official. But I was in the press corps in 2016. You know, up there on the platform filming him in Nashville. And of course, if I could look back then and say, you know, you're going to be a White House correspondent in 2 years, I wouldn't have believed it. But anyway, but I have seen this from the beginning with Kim Clement, how they have used his, you know, they said he died, and then they use all these prophecies that he spoke with a dark atmosphere and all this other stuff, kind of like Robin Bullock, you know. But how they have used Kim Clement since day one, you know, to paint a picture, an image that all the Christians, you know, that Trump is of God. All right, so they've used Kim Clement in that way from the beginning, and we've seen that roll on all these years, and now look what they're doing with it. Kim Clement actually prophesied crypto. God brought in crypto. I mean, this is so stupid. I utterly reject this. I reject all of this vomit, Brad. This to me is just, so I was, you know, researching this, like, what is going on with crypto in the church? I just couldn't believe it. Like, that guy, that Brandon guy, you know, the one that prophesied, you know, the shooting of the ear with Trump, and then Trump, you know, in quotes, I'm over here quoting, you know, had the bullet go by his ear, which didn't touch it, by the way. But, you know, so this guy goes viral, you know, now he's viral, and now he's, you know, doing all these prophecies and whatnot. He is pushing that stuff like, oh, get out. You know, just such a farce. You know, all these influencers, that's what they are. Influencers, you know, that are pushing the church into this vomit. You know, it's like, Lord, help us, Jesus. You know, because I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore. You can only warn, but you can see, you know, how people that are, like, I did that visual yesterday about the partnership of agreement, you know, with the beast, which is 666 AI. With the church, you know, it had the one arm coming down with black and the other arm with white. Black and white, shaking hands in agreement. And then on the, you know, the dark side, I made a visual of what it is we're looking at, you know, that is on that side of darkness. And it is AI, crypto, you know, blockchain and all that stuff, Web 3.0, you know, the jab, the global ID, all that stuff is over there. You know, the decapitation, the Noahide laws, yada, yada. Okay, so, and then on the other side, you know, of course, is Jesus, the cross, persecution. The guillotine, and you know what we're about to go through, type of deal, because If you do not decide to cross over, Bride, you're going to be a castaway. There's no other way to put this. And I know I'm different. I know this. I know that I sound morbid, probably, you know? Because I'm just saying it how it is, what it is that we're facing. Because when I researched that about the crypto and the church, all the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, baby. We about to be so wealthy. Yes, we are. You know. Just terrible. What kind of wealth is that, people? I mean, you got your wealth out of selling your soul to Satan. That's not a wealth. You know, crypt is death. You know, just think about it. Who is the author of death? Who's out to steal, kill, and destroy? And you're going to be proud of that. That's just ridiculous, you know. So, but the church, though, in the meantime, you know, is going to have to go further underground because it's going to increase the pressure and all of the stuff of when he takes, oh, man, when he takes the head. When the snake is at the head, can you imagine? He just did a interview with Dave Ramsey I just saw yesterday. I couldn't believe Dave interviewed President Trump. I didn't even know about it, but he did. And, you know, that's one of the first things he talked about. What are you going to do your first 90 days, the first 100 days? You know, and basically he's going to mow it down. He's already told everybody, you know, the world is going to change drastically. And time after time, you know, you see he's coming after all his enemies type of deal. Now, what I will say about us, and I'm not meaning to sound so heavy like a doom and gloomer this morning. That's what they call me, a doom and gloomer. But what it is I do believe that God is going to use us mightily. Don't get me wrong. Just because I'm sober of the hour that we're in and I sound so grave in my heart, it's because I'm grieving. I'm grieving over what we're going to see and what our family members are going to go through. It's not funny at all. You know? I just have the realization how heavy this is. And, but I believe that God is going to use us mightily. And I believe, like I've given you guys wisdom time and time again about your blessings. And I believe this even more in 2025. When things hit the fan or when disaster happens, you know, over this winter or whatever. And you are like Miss Dorothy. I don't know if she's on here. Let me see. We was with Dorothy through that storm. Yeah, she's on here. We was with her through that storm, through the Hurricane Helene. She had pled the blood of Jesus over her building and they didn't get flooded. Everybody around did. And she was right on the bay where it come in. Heavy, heavy. So she was blessed. And I told her, she said, I've got lights and nobody else does. I told her, I said, be very careful. You know, she was texting me when all this was happening. You got to be wise, Bride. You can't flaunt it, you know, like in the days of old, people with wealth or blessings, you know, may have flaunted it. This is not going to be the hour to flaunt it. You need to be wise about it. You know, remember that girl, I don't know if she's on here, Alma, that had that dream about that snake that come in people's house. Remember that? that dream when they come to the door to arrest them and the snake come in, this big, big snake, it was like a robot, come in through the house looking for them. And she knew that the snake had brought them there. So it was ran by AI, right? So, and a good visual that I think of is that World War Z, where the snake come in the houses, is the visual I have. And it goes around with the cameras and it looks through the house for the people in there and stuff. But that's what she saw in the dream. And then, so before the snake got there though, they had lights. It was utter darkness outside, like grid down scenario. But her family had lights because the way I took it's because they was Christians, you know. And so when her husband got there, he, you know, told her shut them off. You know, you got to be wise because people will hate you for your blessings. See, people will be suffering. People will be angry. You know, people will be hungry and you'll have food. You know, you just have to be wise in that hour. You know, have wisdom. But I believe God's going to ridiculous miracles. You know, bread coming out of nowhere, birds bringing you food. This is if you have faith. If you trust him. Because remember that the beast in the hour to come wants to be the solution. If y'all don't remember anything else I've ever taught you, just remember that they want to be the solution to the problem that they created. So they may tell you certain truths, but what's the solution you're bringing me? I'm going to put you in crypto. This is how you're going to be able to feed your family. You know, you're just going to have to take the global ID so you can get your money in crypto, you know, and then we're going to have to give you the jab because we're going to have to make sure that you're in the community. When the FDA approved that thing, we looked it up. It actually means community. You're not in the community until you take the community, you know, type of deal. So people that want, now this is where we're at and there's no other way to say this. Who is your God? Because they're going to want to be your God. Okay, you want help from us. You want help from the world. You're going to have to be in the world to get it. Okay, you're going to have to be in the world and you're going to have to participate over here and you're going to have to do what we're requiring if you want help from us. And it makes sense. It makes sense. That's to me why the sovereign movement is a farce. These people that say, oh, I'm going to pay $10,000 and I'm going to be sovereign. I ain't going to have nothing to do with this old world. They're not going to make me pay taxes. I'm not going to pay for no, I'm not going to have a driver's license. I'm not going to do this. I'm like, okay, well then where are you going to live? Because you got to pay land taxes because you're in a system. You're in a world here. So where are you going to live? On the ocean? That's about. But I think now they even own the ocean. So where are you going to live? You know, I mean, you're not going to be able to drive because you have to have a driver's license. Why do you have a driver's license? You have a driver's license because the government takes care of the road system. That's why you pay taxes on your car. The government, you know, takes care of the roads for you to be able to drive. They have to pay their police officers. They have to monitor the roads, you know, and then you have to have a license so that the public can know that you know how to drive. because all you're putting all their lives at risk, you know. And then you have insurance so that you can be a responsible citizen and make sure that if something happens that those other people are taken care of. So now you're telling me you want to be sovereign. You want to be outside of the system. So then that means what you're telling me is you won't be able to drive. You won't be able to own a house because then you'd have to get a loan from the bank. Or if you just have cash, you can just go pay it off, but you still got to pay land taxes. Do you see, to me, they're just being lied to. It is such a farce, you know. But that's the sovereign movement, which goes along with the Hebrew roots and all the other farce thereof. Okay. But anyway, I guess I'm finished with my little soapbox, but the Lord woke me up at 12:30 and I cried. I wept over what's about to hit this country and this world and the status of my family and the status of the church right now. And the being a watchman and trying so hard to warn over the last 5 years, you know, since I left the White House and seeing a lot of things that have happened since then, you know. So let's go in the Bible. Go to Joshua chapter 8. Everybody turn your Bible. Joshua chapter 8. All right. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Fear not, and neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee." Hey, hold on just a moment. Something's changed on that Bible. Let me go over here to another one. Okay, here we go. "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up into Ai.'" Isn't that funny that city was called Ai? "See, I have given unto your hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." So I wrote it in my journal, because remember God told me that when he was changing my assignment from We Are the Bride over to Garden of Eden, that he's going to begin to show me his strategies. Like he's been revealing to me, you know, Satan's strategies over the past 5 years. So now I'm learning God's strategy here. So I want y'all to follow me on this, okay? "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as you did in Jericho and her king. Only," now notice how this is a key right here. Notice how he called that city a her. See, God has taught me a lot about how he sees land. Land is alive. It's a thing to God. Okay, he's very serious about his land. "And only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves." All right, let's look at what that word prey means. All right. It means an animal taken by a predator as food. Okay, so prey is like taking the cattle. lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. Okay, so now I'm looking at this as God's strategy, right? Because I'm reflecting back to 2017 when God told me, okay, I want you to travel the country. He gave me, I did the 40 days fasting and praying for President Trump. And then I took, well, I just had a 2-week break, a resting time. And then after I rested, God gave me 4 nights of 4 dreams. And these dreams I called downloads. Okay, so this was like what I'm seeing happening with Joshua. Okay, so God downloaded the assignment into me, what I was to do that year. Okay, so when I'm looking at what God told Joshua, let's break this down. Okay. God's command was, do as you did in Jericho and her king. Okay, so then if you putting yourself in Joshua's position, you would think, okay, I'm going to remember what was my army strategy then. Okay, and number 2, I'm giving you the king, the people, the city, and the land. Okay, and then he gives him another command. He says, take only the spoil, the cattle, and the prey. So take only basically what you will need to survive. The cattle, to eat, maybe blankets and stuff like that. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Okay? These people... Okay, yeah, that's what he said. So that was the assignment from God. If you could look at it like the way that God has been doing me, he gives me assignments like those 4 dreams. So in those dreams, God told me, okay, I want you to go across. The first night was, I want you to go across this country on a 6-month tour. And I want you to travel along the entire border of the country, and I want you to pray and do what I tell you to in certain cities. Okay, and I'm like, what? I had that old car, with a rod knocking bald tires. I mean, 260,000 miles, and you want me to drive this thing across country, So that was the first night, and then the second night, he's like, I want you to do a 50 days of blaze, 50 days of praying for this country. Pray for every state for 50 days. That's what he said. So I called that the 50 days of blaze. And then he said, all kinds of, so each day was all these different assignments. All right, now this is a key point, because y'all are in a school this morning. Okay, let's go to the next scripture, verse 3. So Joshua arose, which means he took action, and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be you all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as the first. Therefore, we need to flee before them. Therefore, you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord, shall you do, and see that I have commanded you. Now, so this was Joshua's command to his armies. Okay, now let's examine this. Okay. We know that when God spoke to Joshua and gave him the assignment of what he was to do, then Joshua's actions were beyond what God said, wasn't it? Because God didn't tell him, okay, Joshua, you know, kind of like the way he did Noah, where, he told Noah exactly how to build the ark. Okay, so he's like, you need to get so much gopher wood, and you need to get this, you need to build it like this. And he was so specific in the assignment of Noah, so he knew exactly how, he had the blueprint, in other words, okay? But he still had to, make some decisions on his own on how to do on top of the assignment, is what I'm trying to teach you this morning. And this is what Joshua had to do as well. So what did Joshua do that was outside of God's assignment? Okay, let's look at this. All right, so Joshua chose 30,000 men of valor. These were men he could trust, okay? Then he gave them their assignment, and he told a second company to fake the city when the army leaves, okay? So God didn't tell him to do it this way. Do y'all hear where I'm going with this? This was Joshua in his training by God. Remember God telling him, remember how you did on the last one I sent you on. So he has a memory of what happened before. Okay? In other words, God gives the assignment, and there's your parameters. What you do to make God's will happen is what God has trained you for. This is where, we do pray about things that we do, of course. But this is where you have to know you have been built for such a time as this. You've got to trust yourself. Okay? God tells you, okay, like God telling me, back in 2013. He says, all right, I want you to travel. And I want you to go to these churches. And I want you to train them like you did in college. And I want you to give them everything for free. He told me, you serve these ministries. And you teach them what you know. Okay, there's my assignment. He didn't give me yada, 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 yada. He didn't give me every single thing, every move to make. He said, this is what I want you to do. Chop, chop, chop. It's like this. All right. So then he would put me in all these different scenarios with all these different ministries. And then I would sit down with their staff and I would teach them everything I know. I would pour into all of them. I would say, okay, this is how you do live streaming. And this is where you set up your cameras. This is how you do social media. You need to look at it like this. When you look at Facebook, Facebook is relational. Facebook is families. Facebook is older people. Okay. So you need to have your relationships in mind. You need to have a Facebook page set up that's different, not a group. A lot of churches go in there and set up groups. It's such a farce. You need to set up a page. Everybody needs a public page. And then I explain to them how social media works. Twitter is business. You need to be on, this is back when social media was different. You need to be on Twitter. Where you can go out there and you can hit all of the other ministries, all the businesses, the government. This is kind of like a business platform. Then you got Instagram. Instagram is a younger audience. Instagram is the stories through pictures. So everything about your ministry needs to be a story, you know. So I'm training them in this. And then I'm doing their websites, and I'm sitting down with those pastors, and I'm like, okay, what is your vision? I need to know before I create your world online. I need to sit down with you, and I need to find out, what did God tell you to do? What is this vision? And then they would tell me, you know, God told me that I am, okay, like here was Dr. Morris. Okay, when I went to Dr. Morris, he's a deliverance minister. Okay, so you walked in his church, it was all blood red. Red all the way across it. It was like, you know, his bookstore over there. And, you know, it was like, I don't know how to explain it, but it gave the impression to the public, you know, that it was all about demons. You know, it was the image that he was portraying. So after I sat down and I listened to Dr. Morris about his vision, his education, his heart, what God told him to do there, I had to know his whole vision. Then I prayed about it and went off, thought about it, and then I put together a business plan. Okay, then I come back to him, and this is all for free, people. I come back and I sat down with the business plan, and I met with all his staff. I said, okay, this is what I recommend. Okay, you are a pastor and you have a church, but you're also a deliverance minister and you have a worldwide global deliverance ministry at the same time. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to create two separate websites. All right. One website is going to be set up for Dr. Philip Morris. This is who you are as a professional. And he's like, yeah, but I heard this from a lot of my pastors back then. They were like, I feel funny, you know, having a website, my own name. I don't want to lift up myself. I'm like, okay, let me ask you this. When you got saved, did you die? Yeah. Then your name is not your own anymore, is it? No. Bam. God chose you, and your name is for his glory. So it's not you being promoted. It's what God is doing in you. We can't hide under a bushel just, you know, trying to think that we're, you know. So then I would explain why they need to be this way. So then I told him, we need to change your whole church atmosphere. We need to change your sign outside to reflect the church, because you need to focus more on the community. So we're going to change the outside of the church. When they come in, we're going to make it lighter colors, you know, and be more inviting and have your bookstore in a separate room, you know, and to where it's, when they come in, it's all about the church. You know, deliverance is separate. You know, you can pray with them at the altar, but that's not going to be your focus. You know, and so I was able to help him. And man, by the time I left there in 4 months, he had redone his sanctuary. He had redone his sign. You know, I built him 2 websites and yada, yada, you know. So this is what I did for these ministers. And then I'd go to the next church, and then I'd stay in their church. And then I would help them build their site, you know, do their live stream and teach their staff how to do live streaming and all that stuff. So the point is, God told me in the beginning, I want you to go serve these ministries and teach them what you know. I was trained in London under the top 3 global firms how to do this, okay? You know, which God did. He gets all the glory for all my education and whatnot. But after I finished my master's degree, he told me, he shut all the doors, wouldn't let nobody hire me. He said, I'm hiring you. I'm going to use you to help my people. See, in other words, he sent me through all that to build his kingdom. So I go out there, and then he gave me the parameters. This is what I want you to do. But because he had trained me as a soldier in communications, okay, he trusted me to go out there and just do what he told me to do in the way that he had trained me. He didn't, you know, wake me up every day and tell me, okay, today I want you to, you know, I want you to type this paper and do this, that, you know, no, you just do what you know to do. You know, if you get off track in your mission, he'll let you know. You know, he will. He'll let you know. He'll whip you and correct you, and it's okay, because that's what he means. Now, I'm going to tell y'all this as a church. This is what he means by making your crooked path straight. Because when you are a child of God, you're not perfect. You're going to be whipped. That's the good thing about being a Christian, and that's how you know that he still is there. If you're not feeling any conviction, you know, for a while, and you haven't been corrected, something's wrong. Because it's so easy, you know, for pride to come in and for you to slip here and slip there. But he keeps you in line. And when he whips you, just be grateful. Thank you, Lord. You know, I repent. I had to repent last night when I was up in intercession. I was repenting. You know, we keep ourselves, our hearts, pliable before him. That's what repentance is. So when he gives the parameters and he says, okay, go out here and serve all these ministries, when I go, I'm doing what I know to do. And then I'm doing the best I can do, knowing he's watching every move I make. And he's judging everything I'm doing. Okay? If I get off kilter, he'll correct me. You know? And when you finish an assignment, I've learned how God does. When you finish an assignment, there is peace beyond measure. I call it the burden has lifted. You know, whenever I've completed an assignment, he takes that burden and then he opens another assignment. And usually there's a resting time. Usually there's a resting time between assignments, you know, to give you time to recoup. So like me moving from We Are the Bride Ministries over to Garden of Eden, this whole ending of this year has been kind of a transition, you know. So I've taken off 1 week and I'm taking off a week next week, you know, kind of resting, because when we start, the following week, which will be after Christmas, it's going to be full blown for a long time, you know, because we're all going into such uncharted territory. We're facing a very real enemy, you know, and we're going into a 40-day fast. You know, and we're all, you know, going into some very serious days. So we need to, you know, rest for a little bit and get ready for this battle that we're about to enter into. And I want to tell you this as well. I meant to tell y'all this in the beginning of the call. Is I've had the weirdest things happening to me ever since that interview with that woman. All against my communications. I didn't put it together till last night. My cell phones are not working. You know, people trying to text me, they can't get in touch with me. I can't think of what else. But it's all in the communications realm. You know, it was so much coming against us. And last night, I walked into the bedroom and I told Dennis, I said, Dennis, we need to pray. I said, I think that we're under attack over our communications. Because it's like, excuse me, I've been in intercession all night and my throat is... I said, we've had all this stuff happen against our communications. I think we're under attack, so we need to come together in agreement, you know. And we did. You know, we prayed against this attack against communications and all that kind of stuff. And look, bam, opened right back up. The Lord woke me up at 12:30. And, you know, I was able to spend some time with him. And I look forward to spending time with him next week because I need to hear. He told me he's got some stuff he wants to tell me. So I really need to spend time with him in the woods. But anyway, okay, let's get back to the scripture here. Okay, so going back to where we was at, so God gave Joshua an assignment. We are in Joshua chapter 8. In the beginning, the Lord gave Joshua an assignment. Okay, and I want to say this. See right here where it says the Lord said, now this is the Old Testament, Joshua. This is one thing that I've noticed what they're doing in the narrative of the Orthodox Jews and the ones that are trying to deceive the church is they're saying the Lord, you know, they're saying the Lord in a deceptive way to try to make people think that it's Jesus. But just know when you hear them doing this, that the Lord was called, God was called the Lord as well in the Old Testament. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I mean, I know they're the one, but I wanted to point that out. I can't even think of where I saw it. If I see it, then I'll let you guys know why I have this opinion on that. Okay, but anyway, so in the first part of Joshua chapter 8, God gave the assignment to Joshua. He laid out his parameters, okay? Then the next part of Joshua, we see that Joshua goes to his men and sets up his army. And he tells them, y'all go do what I tell you to do. This is what God told me to do, and now I'm telling you to do it. So go forth, right? Verse 9, Joshua therefore sent them forth. And they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with them, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the sea. So look, he's surrounding that city, ain't he? And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north side of the city, and their liers in wait on the west side of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. So he did a... In the middle of the night, Joshua did a strategic plot in his army against Ai. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he was not aware that they were lying in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and Israel made as if they were beaten before them. Ha! I thought that was cool. They kind of made them think that they had the upper hand on them, didn't they? And fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. So his plan worked, didn't it? And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said to Joshua, uh-oh, wait a minute. Pause. The Lord sits down with Joshua and he tells Joshua, all right, I want you to do A, B, C, and D. So Joshua gets together with his army, and Joshua tells all of them, hey, you know, we're going to do it like this, and we're going to do it on this side, that side, and we're going to get them all away from it. We're going to go in and take the city. So now the plan is working. All right, all the people are out of the city, and you got all the other men that were laid back in wait are getting ready to go in, and all of a sudden, the Lord steps in. The Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. Uh-oh. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. So he obeyed God, didn't he? So let's rewind. The Lord said to Joshua, stretch out that spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. So Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand towards the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. Isn't that something? And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. I kind of think about Moses with his rod. Think about this. Moses was in a situation with his children of Israel, which probably by the millions, okay? He's out there with these people, and the army of Pharaoh and all of his army was behind him. They were coming up on them. They were backed against the wall, man. Him and the children of Israel are down by the river, and here comes the army. Woo! You can only imagine how they were feeling down there. And the children of Israel are like, help! They're coming to get us! Help, Moses! You know, Moses is like, be still! You know, the Lord is going to take care of us, people. You know. And the Lord speaks to Moses. And he says, take out your rod and put it over the water, Moses. So, let's look at Moses and let's look at Joshua. All right, Moses was in the beginning and then was Joshua, and now here we are. Okay? We're all children of God. We are all in our appointed destiny at an appointed time. Serving our God, right? So, our age that we're in right now is just as important as Moses was when he had to face the army of Pharaoh, when Joshua had to face the army of Ai. Now, we are here having to face the beast, the devil itself. I mean, it looks so impossible right now for us. Now, Moses, Joshua, both of them were told by God, you take what you have in your hand and put it towards this way. God knows what is in our hands. He knows what we have, what we lack. He knows what we're facing. He knows the challenges and the armies that we're facing, the enemies we're facing. He knows it. All we have to do is hear him. Our ears have to be open to hear him. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, let the ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Moses puts his rod out there. Bam! Act of obedience. Because he partnered with heaven and obeyed God's command, puts his rod down, and the waters, the elements of the earth, the matter, rises up and parts. The water obeys the obedience that the human had to give to come in obedience with heaven. It was God's will that the waters part and make way for his people. And not only that, but the ground had to be dry. So the ground dried up. They made a path for his people to walk through. Can you imagine? Really, it's probably a mile wide. I mean, how big that thing had to be to let all them people through there. Now, this is the key. When those people walked through that water and they were in their blessings and they had provision in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of their end time scenario, okay? When they walked through there and they got to the other side of Jordan, Pharaoh and the enemy thought they would step into the blessing of the road that was paved out for the blessing of Moses and the children of Israel. But the blessing is not the same. It's not meant for the wicked. It's meant for God's people. The beautiful path, the provision, the avenue and the way for them to get to the other side. But when the wicked stepped in because they were jealous and they wanted to cross over too, God got vengeance on them, didn't he? It overtook them. The water swallowed them up. They were not allowed. He even broke their wheels. He stopped their striving of trying to be in the blessing that he had provided for Moses and his people. That is a key lesson for you guys to know this morning, because in the coming days, I'm telling you, I believe we're going to see these kind of miracles. I really do. Like right now, you know, you see these, all these NAR people and everybody talking about the wealth that we get laid up for the judge. Yeah, we're about to get so wealthy, you know, but it's wealthy for what? I mean, you're going to go over here and partner with the beast to get wealthy? You know, it's a trap, people. It's a trap from the enemy. But you see the church out here that is not going to step in and say, no, you know. I'm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, people. You know, I am not going to partake of your cocktail over there. You know, I am not going to have you label me like cattle, sir. You know, I've already been bought with a price. This temple is already paid for. You know, I'm just not going to do that. And God will take care of me. You know, you have to really believe this, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was going to be thrown in the fire because they would not take the provision of that king. And what did they say? You can throw me in that fire. Yeah, you can. I mean, you're the king, you know. But I do serve a God that knows where I'm at right now, and he knows what you're saying to me. So if he wants me to go in there, the will of the Lord be done, he'll be with me. But even if I go in there and he's nowhere to be found, I'm still going to serve him, you know. And what did God do? God backed them up, didn't he? Yes, he did. He was the fourth man in the fire. Changed the whole kingdom. We cannot compromise. We cannot mix. See, they're wanting you to mix. They're wanting you to share your blessings. Because I'm telling you, God is going to do supernatural things for his people. If we will trust him and we say, okay, let's say the New Madrid fault line happens. And let's say, you know, everything will. I mean, if that thing really blows, it really is going to be utter, you know, destruction across this country. It will be felt in probably other countries. It's going to be terrible, you know, to what they're saying.
So,
You're a house on the street, just like Miss Dorothy. Your house is still intact. Uh-oh. How can that happen? Your house is still intact, and you still have your provisions. You see? What if you have lights when nobody else does? What if you have a supernatural wall around your property and they can't cross the line? I mean, seriously, what if? Because somebody said the other day that these alien ships was going to appear in that disaster. Now, let's just go down this road a second. According to this person, the alien ships are designed so that they will appear when the disaster happens. And they will be there to beam people up or something. Something crazy. I don't know. How many people, you know, will cave? And I know it seems like I'm saying this, and it would be different when it really happens type of deal of being with nothing. But I can truly say I really have been there, church. I have been homeless. The Lord has showed me in a very real way, when everybody else was prosperous out there and everybody else was living it up, boy, he had me in boot camp number one, you know. And he showed me, going from state to state, you know, with a car that could collapse any second, And not knowing how I was going to get to the next state or even how I was going to eat or where I was going to sleep. It was the unknown to the oomph, you know. But I know God did that in preparation for today, where I can truly tell you guys, he is really that real of a God. He is really that accessible and that alive, that real. Because in the coming days, whenever whatever happens, okay, you're going to have an option you're going to have to take. Okay, martial law. Everybody over here, go over here to this camp now. You know, what are you going to do? They say, okay, we got food over here and you're starving. You know, and the pressure's on for you to cave. Now, this would be the worst scenario, but I heard a guy yesterday talking about how he had a vision of, you know, the Mark of the Beast, his version of the Mark of the Beast, and how his wife and his daughter both took it in this dream, and how hard it was for him to say no to the beast when his family had caved. And I'm saying this as serious as all get out. You have to love the Lord more than you love your family. Because even that guy was talking about it, you know, about Jesus came to divide. And it seems weird because he says he's a peace. You know, he wants us to have peace with all men, but he says he's the one that came to divide. Mother against father, yada, yada. I don't know why that is. But the only thing I can think of it as, he wants you to have no other lovers but him. no other gods before him. And he is very serious about it. He is jealous for you. He is jealous. You know, I told you guys, this is why Oprah Winfrey says she does not want to be a Christian. She just cannot imagine a God that says, I'm going to be jealous over you. Weird, you know, in her eyes. But what it is he wants to know if he is your everything. If you will choose him first. You know, this woman said the other day about Trump's America First. What that is it means the first one to go into the Noahide laws. America First, the Christian nation. So sad when you think about it. Be the first one rounded up as cattle. America First. We're going to have to choose who is our real God. When the community caves and they're, you know, all aboard this America First deal because they really don't know what's coming. This is why I tell you guys, you can't be mad at these people. They're only believing what they're, the image that's being presented to them from the mainstream media, from their churches that are partnering with them, the lies that they're believing, you know. And then they see you, like they're already mad you didn't vote. So that's clue number one. You know, just wait until it's a commandment from the king that every city celebrate and every citizen. And then you don't. Because you're like, I am not pledging allegiance to no king. I am not going to partner with this global utopia y'all people got going out here. I just want to mind my own business and live my life. How's that? Y'all go and do your thing. I don't care what y'all do. You know, just don't bring it to my house is all I'm asking. You know, y'all can celebrate it all you want. But, you know, just wait until they say, okay, unless you go and, you know, get this everything app, you're not going to be able to go shopping. I mean, it's just this simple, you know. So the squeezing of it or the emergency situation where they have your provisions, so they want you to go to this camp. And then when you go in the camp because they need the safety with everybody because now they got all these other pandemics going on. They just announced the bird flu and then you got the monkeypox and all this. So, you know, they want you to come in, so they got to jab you. And then you got to sign on the dotted line, you know, to get your new ID in this new kingdom. Or just to even get these provisions. You know, you're going to have to do this and this. You're going to have to cross over, basically. So let's step back to Jesus. You know, Jesus is over there getting ready to be crucified. So Jesus goes off in the garden and he's praying. Do y'all know how hard it was when the enemy offered him provision when he was starving? And we're talking about Jesus here. We're talking about a man who had never sinned. And he's off in prayer in the garden. And the pressure got so bad that he's bleeding blood. I mean, he's sweating blood. That's a very real temptation. You know, this is why we're going to be doing the 40-day fast. We need to be able to say no. We need to be able to trust God. 2025 is going down, people. I mean, you won't be able to hide from it. You know, see, a lot of people, the way that they're bringing in this utopia is they're being very slick about it. They're making it look all beautiful and colorful, you know. Everything right now is just volunteer, you know. We just want y'all to cross over into crypto, you know. And we've even got a president that's bringing in the whole, he's the crypto king now. And he's going to change all the electricity because we got to have some fire out here going. We got to drill, baby, drill, like he told with Dave Ramsey. He said, oh, I'm going to drill, baby, drill. We going to drill like we ain't never drilled. We just going to burn up the earth because we got to have all this power for all these supercomputers. You know? And so it just leaves the humans hanging out here, you know, because they're not going to be able to breathe with all this latency going on. The TNG that it's going to take to power all these robots and stuff and these drones, you know, but that's what I believe they're putting in that jab is the metals that are in it, the what do they call that? The graphene deflects, you know, the little crystals that flow through their body now. It deflects the five genesis and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 so that they, you know, will be able to operate more type of deal versus a regular human, you know, that doesn't have that on the inside of them type of deal. The radiation causes them to get sick and cancer and all that kind of stuff, you know. But anyway, so the choice is coming to everybody. Which God are you going to serve? Which one are you going to trust? Are you going to really trust that God will provide for you and he will take care of you? You know, and when that happens, be careful with that blessing. One other story I want to tell you before we get back to the word is, let's go back to Moses. Moses is down there with the children of Israel at the Jordan River. Okay? And the army is upon them. The children of Israel get scared. The angel moves from the front of the army, I mean not the army, but the front of the children of Israel, and moves to the back as a barrier between the army and the children of Israel. This is the coolest thing ever. The cloud moved. The cloud on one side, which is the children of Israel, is light, warmth. On the other side is fire, stopping the army from going towards the children of Israel. You talking about a protective barrier. That's what God did for his people. Let's talk about another prophet named Elijah. I think it was Elijah, who was so exhausted in the desert that a gourd grew up out of the ground and gave him shade. Covered him like a tent. I mean, just the miracles of God. And I think with us being the end time church, that we are going to see miracles, and we're going to sit down with Elijah. We're going to sit down with Ezekiel and Moses, and we're going to really talk to them. We're going to tell them what we did and what we saw and what we faced in our hour. Can you imagine what that conversation is going to be like in heaven? And you know, Dennis last night, bless his heart, he was telling me, he said, I've just really been thinking in my mind lately more about eternity. We have to remember this, church, because the world wants you to think you've got to stay here, so let the beast take care of you. Come on now, just cross over, We're going to heal your body. We're going to give you this new fake food so you'll lose all your weight. And we're going to give you this new jab, you know, that's going to be able to go in there and fix all your ailments. We're going to put you in these med beds and we're just going to make you younger. We're going to put you under this surgery, you know, and we may even be able to make you prettier, you know. If you have some flaws that you don't really like your nose or you have spots on your face, or even if you don't like your gray hair, we can fix it. Yes, we can. You know, and even over here, you can live forever. I mean, we're just so good with our technology. We can just kind of put you up on the cloud. We can just upload your conscience, you know. And then you can live forever. We can put you in this avatar body, you know, and then you can talk to your family anytime you want. And, you know, this is the world you really need to be in. I mean, you know, why would you want to worry about heaven? This is what they're telling people. This is the image they're pushing over there. That you want to stay here and you want to be a part of this reward system with crypto and Microsoft 666 and all this other stuff. Okay, so here's the other side. Church. Just like what God told Ezekiel. Let me get my book here. I love my journal, man. Okay. Do you know that when God showed Ezekiel some things, that he actually transported Ezekiel? He sure did. Just like he did John, he transported him. Just like he did Philip, he transported Philip. This is why people should not kill themselves. Because a lot of people say, oh, when they come to my door, I'm just going to walk outside with a gun and I'm just going to shoot myself. Or let them shoot me so they'll just die, so they won't go to them camps and stuff. I want to encourage you to not have that thinking, really. I know it is horror thinking about the types of torture they may want to try to do to you and all this. But I just got to tell you something, Brad. You've got to have eternity in your mind, because the Lord may want to have them where they think they're going to do it and they're going to try to do it. And then an angel show up and blow them all out of the room or something. The angel may take you up in front of all of them and may show them a lesson or two. You really don't know what God wants to do with you. Why would you limit God to not being able to take care of you? Why would you limit him to say that he cannot deliver you out of the jail they're putting you in, or that he may not want to use you there, you know, or that you won't be able to sing, what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. As I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Remember, that's our anthem song. So whenever you're in these camps or whatever, sing that and you'll know who's there. But anyways, if you have it set in your mind that you just want to die real fast and don't want to suffer, then why are you any better than Jesus? We need to be here as long as we can possibly be, because there's a soul hanging in the balance here. The Lord is going to be with us no matter what, Bride. He is. He's got to have somebody. He's got to have somebody that's going to trust him. that's going to say, all right, Lord, I cannot walk in the White House. Lord, I'm the only one. Lord, look at my past. Look at how big I am. Lord, I have no money. Look, I have nobody supporting me. Lord, what am I going to do? I'm walking in here with all of these other press corps that's the best from all over the world, and you're putting me in here with them. Look how I'm dressed, Lord. Come on, Jesus. You know, that fear of crossing over to the other side because you don't know how it's going to work out. It just takes a step. And then he meets you on the other side of that obedience. You know, he makes the way. He knows you don't know how to do it. He knows that you're scared out of your everlasting mind. You know, he knows how you feel. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head. And he knows what they're trying to do to you. You know. But when you consider all the martyrs over the years and how they've been martyred across this world, if I was to read you some of the stories, you would be horrified at what some of the Christians have been through in the past. We're not any better than any of them. We can't be a wimpy church that says, I don't want to suffer, so I just want to be removed early. That's kind of like people believe in pre-trib rapture. I want to be removed before any of that happens. Instead, our heart is, the will of the Lord be done. My temple doesn't belong to me to make those type of decisions. My temple belongs to you, Lord. So, what do you want to do? What is my mission here? You know, I just want to make sure I'm hearing you, because if I'm hearing you, I can do anything and go anywhere and trust you. I just want to know you're there. That's my feeling. Last night out there under the stars, that's what I was telling him. I thank you that you're there. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you. You know, I'm not mad when he wakes me up. I want to spend time with you, Lord. You know, but it does tell me, Bride, something really bad is coming. He hasn't spoken to me per se, like what it is. But I pray he lets me tell you when he tells me. That's why I need to spend some time with him. After today, actually, today's the last day y'all will see me until after Christmas, as far as these morning calls. Tomorrow we'll have Miss Denise. She's going to take the call. And then next week, we're all off, okay? I encourage you guys next week to slow down and to pull out of the metaverse. And what I mean by that is, you know, put your phone down. Focus on your house, you know, deep clean your house, get your house ready for 2025, pray, intercede, go visit your neighbors, you know, go visit your grandma you haven't seen in a long time, your grandkids if you can, you know, and take that week, to kind of get everything in order. Spend some time with God. You know, just get out of the metaverse. No researching. You know, just get out. You know, clear your mind out for a week. Christmas, you know, I know there's a lot of prophecies that there's going to be a lot of disaster over Christmas. But if God allows it, enjoy this Christmas. Spend time with your family if you can. Go, if your family don't want anything to do with you, invite a neighbor over for dinner. You know, be what you want your family to be, type of deal. But just get out of the metaverse for a week and you know, get offline, get your eyes out of the screens, and then, you know, refresh your spirit, man, and your house, you know, get it in order and whatnot. Because the next week, we go to war. Okay, I kind of see next week is our last week of the year because the next week is wartime. You know, New Year's Eve is only on that Tuesday night. So, but I really encourage you guys in that. And I really wish you guys a very Merry Christmas. And I pray y'all have a wonderful Christmas. And Sunday, of course, we will have church. And then we'll take the week off and we'll see the next Sunday. Now, if we have a big time emergency and if I'm able to go live, I will. Okay? I'm just telling you that I'm still with you. If something major that y'all need to know, something major, I will let you guys know about it. You know, but I pray we have a little more time, but it just seems the other way, huh? Okay, so now, but God did translate and transport Ezekiel, and he remained there for 7 days. This is in Ezekiel chapter 3. Okay, and I agree with Dee. You know, she texted me yesterday and she said, man, you need to read Ezekiel 1 and 2. It's exactly where we're at right now. And it's true. You know, because God tells Ezekiel in chapter 2, you know, he says, look, I need you to warn the people because my people are stubborn and stiff-necked. And he said, but you cannot look at their faces. You know, and I believe there's a reason God says that. And he says, open your mouth and receive the suffering. Now, can you believe that? God tells a prophet, you're going to suffer here. You're going to go through a lot, Ezekiel. So if you accept this calling, open your mouth and receive. And he had to swallow a scroll. It tasted like honey when it went in, but it was bitter to his stomach. He had to eat the word. But he had to accept in his heart that he was going to suffer in his assignment. I still think of Paul. I know I say this a lot, but it's a good principle for us to know as leaders. I still think of Paul when the prophet approached Paul in the book of Acts and said, Paul, please don't go to Jerusalem. They're gonna beat you up there. You know, and all of Paul's people are standing around him and they hear this. And then Paul replies to him, no, I already know I'm going to die there. You know? And so he let them know that he knew the suffering was ahead. He knew his death was ahead. And when Paul's people understood the severity of what Paul was saying, and the seriousness of the suffering he's going to have to go through, they cried, for they loved Paul. And they looked at him and said, the will of the Lord be done. And that is the heart we have to have. The will of the Lord be done, no matter what happens to us. Okay, let's all think of it like this. We're fixing to go into 2025. You know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, would we have ever thought we would ever be this far? that we would ever be in 2025. I know I didn't think we would. Because remember 2020? I mean, not 2020, but 2000. Y2K, you know. We thought everything was going to die in Y2K. And then you had all these big time prophets, you know, like Benny Hinn, you know, telling everybody. Now, of course, Benny Hinn did say, you know, back in 1990, I'll never forget it. New Year's Eve, actually, of 1990. That when the Antichrist comes on the scene, there'll be a woman president. And, of course, he said a lot of other things that did not come to pass, like that minister in Cuba, you know, the way the president of Cuba, the way he said he was going to die didn't happen that way and whatnot. But anyways, the point is that everybody thought we weren't going to make it past 2000. And then, oh, no, 2020, what? You know, 2025, and here we are. We're all in our 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, you know. We're all older now. You know, we've all got obstacles, you know. We've all got issues that we're facing here in the end. You know, where we wish we was younger and could run and, you know, do all the stuff that you think you're going to need in the tribulation time. But God knows where we're at, and he knows our limitations. And he knows every hair on your head and all your wrinkles and everything else about you. So I got to tell you a story now that I brought that up about age. Because I have a feeling there's somebody listening to this that is probably scared because you're thinking about your age and your limitations and where you're at right now. And you're thinking you cannot see yourself going any further because of your situation. One day, when I was in my servanthood in the pit in 2013, is when God told me, I want you to travel and I want you to pray for people on their deathbed. This was my first assignment. My second assignment was traveling and serving ministries. But the first one was the people on their deathbed. So I'd pray with all these people, 102, 99, 110, you know, and God taught me about death. All right, so one of them was this woman that was 110. Well, when I met her, she was 109. Okay, now she was this beautiful black lady that lived in the city of Clarksville, Tennessee, which is where you have Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And she lived right in the city, and she had a whole street named after her. And she had all her family members on that street. She told me the story of how they founded that street, you know, back in the early 1900s. And she built the first house there. And, you know, and then all her family just built houses there, you know. So she's got all her kids, grandkids, everybody on that street, you know. But it's right in the downtown area. I mean, she's like right next to the college where I went to school at, Austin Peay State University. And so anyway, so when they sent me to pray with her, it was so fascinating because she was a very tiny, tiny woman. I mean, she was like maybe 5'2" and 100 pounds of that, you know. Well, she was paralyzed from the neck down. And she, up until about 6 months prior to me meeting her, now the only reason I'm with her is because she's close to death. I am with a hospice program, and so that meant you were close to death. So she explained to me, and my job with them, because I was a volunteer, was to travel around and pray with people on their deathbed. Really fascinating job. I learned so much. And so Now, this is at the time as well that I'm losing everything, and I just finished, you know, 6 months earlier working for that lawyer, working for the college, making big bucks, driving my car, living at large, you know. So now 6 months later, I've accepted the call of God. I've lost everything, and, you know, I'm suffering. And so anyway, so I'm sitting there with her, and she's telling me her story. Now, she's telling me all about her life and how she's not mad about slavery. You know, she really talked to me about it. And I really enjoyed, you know, hearing her stories about her family and everything. And she was a Christian to the bone. Oh, how she loved the Lord. And we was able to pray together, and I'd hold her hand. She had the best personality. I mean, for somebody to just be laying there and paralyzed, she'd make you laugh and just full of life and so beautiful and just so precious. And, you know, always grateful every time I would come and see her, just, you know, very appreciative and everything. And her family would be in the other room, you know. So I built this relationship with her for 4 months. I would go see her, you know. And so we built a really close relationship. And so one day, I was praying in tongues. Now, she prayed in tongues too, you know. And I was praying in tongues, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Do you see her hair?" And then I really looked at her hair. She only had a few hairs left, you know. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you see her face?" Now, she had, I guess, a condition or something to where her pigment, she had lost a lot of her pigment, so she was very white spotted. I still have video. I found videos of her. I could post these videos. I just found them the other day of me with her. And, okay, so her face was very spotted, and she had really deep wrinkles, real deep. He said, "Do you see her wrinkles?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "The world dismisses her because of this. But I want you to know, she is beautiful to me." That's what he said. He said, "Her wrinkles on her face tell me a story. It tells me her story like rings on a tree." That's what he told me. He said, "The world defines beauty not the way I do." Oh, I cried and cried and cried as I rubbed her little bald head. As I rubbed that bald head, boy, I was just a-crying and crying. Because I realized how beautiful she was to him. She didn't live much longer after that. She died about a week later. But I asked the Lord, "Lord," and I did this a lot, and he always honored me. I'd say, "Lord, will you let me, when I build a relationship like with her, will you let me be with her when you take her home?" And he did. There was another one he did like that too. This is a cool story. I went to see this woman. She was one of the first ones whenever I started losing everything. And the hospice told me, "Oh, this woman, she is insane, man. I'm just telling you right now, this woman is schizophrenic." You know, and so I had it set in my mind when I went in this nursing home that this woman's going to be some schizophrenic, crazy woman. So I go in there and everything, and I'm listening to her. And she said, now she was a little younger. I guess she was about 88 or something like that. And she said, "Man, that old devil on that TV, I tell you what," you know. And so finally, I was listening to her, and I said, "Ma'am, I got a question." And she said, "What?" I said, "Are you a Christian?" She goes, yes, ma'am, why do you ask? I said, you know. And so I called on to it. This woman was a spirit-filled Christian. But the company thought she was insane because of the way she would talk about warfare. But you know how it is. We have our own lingo. You know what I mean? We have our own way of talking about demons and all that kind of stuff. But they didn't understand what she was saying. But me, you know, being a spirit-filled Christian, and I'm sitting there, I got her, you know. So I was like, I hear you. So we hit it off immediately, you know. And so we got real close because she was there for me. Now, here she is. She wasn't really paralyzed, but she was, you know, way on her way going out. We're very weak and whatnot. But she was my friend as I was her friend. Because she had three kids that lived in that city and none of them would ever come see her. And she was so lonely in that old nursing home when nobody would come and see her. And so when I would come, it would just lighten her day. So when I first started coming to her, and then I realized that she was a spirit-filled Christian, boy, we was like, you know, two kinfolk, you know, that had a family reunion. And so then she said, oh, man, I used to love my pastors, you know, and she told me who he was. I said, what? Are you talking about old Happy Preacher? That's what they used to call him. She's like, yeah. She goes, you know him? I said, yeah, I know him. I said, that man's pretty famous in Nashville. She goes, oh, he was my pastor for 30 years. Oh, he's the best pastor I ever had, and that is my last wish. I want to see my pastor just one more time. Now, here she is in her 80s, sat under him for 30 years, so I guess she hasn't seen him in 20-something years. But she wanted to see him before she died. So I left that day, and I called that man. Yes, I did. I found his church. It was in Nashville, on the other side of Nashville. So he was about 100 miles away. So I told him, I said, sir, you know his church. I said, I need y'all to give him a message. I said, I work with a hospice program, and there's a woman dying. Oh, and she used to be in his church for 30 years, and that is her last wish for him to come see her. Do you know he came the next day? Yes, he did. I couldn't wait for her to see him because she used to talk about him all the time. So, boy, I walked in that nursing home. I said, girl, I got a surprise for you. And she goes, what? And then he walked in the door. I'm going to tell y'all something. It was like that girl was 30 years old all over again. She was so happy. Yes, she was. She lit up. She sat up in that bed. She screamed. He come over there. He was really known as the happy pastor. Because he was funny as all get out. You know, he used to be friends with Betty Jean Robinson, which I love Betty Jean Robinson. I sing a lot of her songs, you know. And so he went over there and he hugged her and, oh, she was so happy. Y'all know I took picture after picture. I documented that moment. So he stood by her bed, you know, and he held her hand. She goes, I just can't believe you're here. And he said, oh, yes, ma'am. Now, what can I pray with you about? You know, and she was able to have that moment. And I left the room and left him alone. But it was just so beautiful. And then I got those pictures made. And I posted them. Now, at the end of her bed, she had this poster board. And I put about 6 pictures of her and him, you know, up there for her to see. And she didn't live long after that either. I guess it was about a week or so later. And, you know, I used to go see her about every day. I just loved seeing her. And they had called me and said, we're going to repossess your car. And we will be there in an hour. I said, all right. So I knew I had to go see her before I lost my car, because that'd be the last time I could see her that I knew of. So I drove to the nursing home and I said, and she was in a coma, which tells me she's fixing to leave us, you know. And so I walked over to her bed, you know, and I said, hey, I just wanted to tell you, you know, because God taught me that even when they're in a coma, they're still alive. It's just that they cannot respond to you, but they're still very much alert in there. Okay. So you talk to them just like anything. So I told her, I said, I just want you to know that they're coming to repossess my car. And so I probably won't be able to come back and see you, but I just want you to know how much I have enjoyed our time together. And I love you, you know, and I thanked her for being my friend and everything. Do you know, she woke up, God let her come to me, and she looked me in the eyes and she said, thank you. And she thanked me for being her friend and for coming to see her and everything. And we used to pray all the time, God, please send her kids. She wants to see her kids before she dies, Lord. That was really her last wish. So I was able to hug her and we prayed together, and you know, I just thank the Lord that I've had the opportunity to get to know her. So I left that day. The next morning, I get a phone call. She died. And I said, all I want to know is one thing. I just want to know, did her kids come and see her? Because we had plowed it. I mean, I had been with her like 4 months, too. We had plowed the heavens for her to be restored to her kids before she died. And they said, no, I don't think so. Oh, I was so hurt. I was so hurt. I was so upset at God. I'm like, why? So we had church that morning. I had this woman from church coming to pick me up to go to church. So she got there and I said, I don't want to go. I am so mad. I said, she died and her kids didn't come see her. I'm so sad about it. And she told me, she goes, well, you need to go to church, you know, because you need to you need to be around God right now and these people. And so I went to church, but during worship, and I do this a lot, I get on my face when I'm in intercession. And I got on my face before, because I was so hurt, because we prayed believing, you know, that her kids was going to come. I got on my face before God. I was crying. Why? She just wanted to see her kids. Why couldn't she? Yada, yada, you know. And I guess it's about a week later, I got a phone call. And it was the hospice program. They said, we have got something to tell you. I said, what? They said, you remember that lady? I said, yeah. They said, can you believe that God woke up all three of her kids at midnight and said, go see your mother now. She's dying. God woke them up. They went to the nursing home at midnight to see their mother. God did that. And she come out of the coma and she sat with them for 30 minutes she had with her children. And they all held her hands as she took her last breath. But he gave it to her. So they called to let me know, God answered your prayer. I was like, wow, God, that's so amazing. You woke her kids up. You did. And they got to see their mom when you took her home. How amazing is that? You know? Anyway, I don't know how I got off on all that.
All right, let's go back and finish our scripture. Okay. But you did learn a lot about death, I'm sure. Okay, so now we're back to Joshua stretching out his spear. Okay, so the Lord said to Joshua, verse 18, stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it to your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand towards the sea. So he obeyed God. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city, took it, hasted, and set it on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up into heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them, so that they let, look at this, none of them remained or escaped. Everybody died from that city of Ai. And the king of Ai, though, they took him alive, and they brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. Wonder what that means when it says edge of the sword. Let's see what this means. What is the edge of the sword is where two planes of the blade meet. This can be a variety of shapes and angles. What does that mean? Let's see. Oh, forceful strength or power. Okay. What does the edge of the sword mean in the Bible? Okay. In Revelation, as throughout the Bible, the two-edged sword is the word of God. The key is that it issues from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. All it means to the ends, the uttermost parts. Okay, gotcha. All right, I gotcha. All right, and so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000. Wow, 12,000 people died that day, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherein he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. Now, you look at this and you think, man, that's sad. You know, God told them to go kill men and women, kids, and everybody in this city. That's all that died, and everything in that city died. Now, in Bible college, when we go into judgment, which is going to be our August course, okay, you will discover about judgment. God is, all of this is like a judgment that God has made against this city. Judgment is a very fascinating study. And you'll discover that everything on that land will be removed, basically. The only people saved are God's people. Think about Rahab the harlot. When they come in to destroy that city, she had protected God's people. Thus, God protected her, didn't he? But even land, I told you, has feelings. Land will spew out the vomit. It will. It can't stand this perversion and sin. What this country is doing, like President Trump bragging to Ramsey about, you know, all of this drill, baby, drill, that's not funny. That's not funny at all. It's not even something to even consider, because when you're drilling, baby, drilling, you are going down there in a thing called fracking into the core of the earth where all of our ecosystem is, our little animals and everything we have in the earth, in there with our roots, you know, that burrow under the earth. That's their habitation, and you're going to go down there and just destroy everything in there? Much less, what's it doing to our plates, you know? Well, what's it doing to our structure? If you think about roots, trees going down there and how all the roots are connected, you know, it kind of fortifies the earth, don't it? But when you drill, baby, drill, you're taking these big pieces of equipment that's drilling down all that way down. And then you're going to turn left and then you're going to drill sideways for another mile or whatever. And then you're going to shoot out and explode the land. Everything in it's going to be killed. All because you want to get a little bit of gas. That's what that is. It's a horror. It's a horror situation. And you want to kill our earth with, you know, these people out here saying they're going to fight for climate change. What an everlasting farce, man. We don't believe a word you people are saying. If you really wanted to save the earth, you would get rid of AI, wouldn't you? You would get rid of all them computers and robots and everything, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to go back to the Garden of Eden? Wouldn't you want to go back to all natural? That's why I don't buy none of these new age doctors. All of you people are a farce on an everlasting stick, because y'all want people to believe that you're all about natural. We all want to be natural, but yeah, you're going to partner with technology. What happened to just trusting in God and in the earth here? You know, and in the plants and the things that God gave us, herbs for healing. You know, y'all hear what I'm saying? So these people saying they want to fight for climate change, but yet they want to electrocute everything in the earth. That's what you're doing. You're electrocuting humans. That's what they're doing, because you want all this electricity to have all these supercomputers. You know, Sam Altman, the one that does the OpenAI. Wants to build a supercomputer, but he needs 5 nuclear plants. 5. For 1 warehouse. And nobody fights it. No, nobody thinks anything about what it's going to take to give these people what they want. And then people can't even see Elon's role in there with President Trump. It's like, what a farce on an everlasting stick. You cannot see it. Misty, what is it, girl? Okay. All right. Well, my dogs are wanting me, so. Let me take a quick little break, and I will be right back.
How great thou art! My God. when I, in awesome wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder. Thy of acclamation, oh, to take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I will bow in humble and
we don't have some shenanigans going on over here at the farm. No wonder my dogs needed me. Our goats are loose. They're out running around, so the dogs was letting me know. But anyway, so let's go ahead and finish the scripture here. Now, so let's kind of recap here. So, it says that Joshua and them had taken 12,000, and that God had told them to kill everything in that city. But see, as it was a blessing to Joshua and them, you know, it was a curse to them, to the city of Ai. It was a judgment brought against them. Only the cattle, verse 27, and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. So one thing we have to remember is this right here. When God tells us something to do, we have to put our mind out of it. Because
I can tell you story after story where I did not understand why God was telling me to do something. But in the end, I was like, oh, that's why, you know. Can you imagine Joshua and any of these other guys that God told them, look, I want you to go take the land. Hold on. Hello? Hold on, guys. All right, I'm back. That was my bank. Sorry about that. Why they do that, I don't know. We're calling to check for fraud. You know, did you authorize this transaction? Isn't that weird when they do that? Anyway, so let's continue. Okay, so, but when God tells you, you know, to do something and you don't understand why, once you learn the voice of God and you learn when he tells you to do something, to just do it, you'll learn over time. At first it'll be weird stepping into act of obedience, but over time it just becomes, yes, Lord, you know. And you just do it, because I'm sure Joshua, whenever God called Joshua, you know, and he said, listen, I need you to go and take this city. You're going to have to kill a bunch of people, Joshua. You know, he's like, okay. I mean, can you imagine his army when they thought about who they were killing? You know, what they was thinking, wonder what they did to deserve this judgment, you know. Why am I having to do this? Y'all know what I'm saying. But his job was do it. You know, God didn't give parameters on how to kill these people. He just said, go in there and do it. So I know for the United States of America, you know, this has been an argument over the years, you know, about us being a Christian nation. You know, why did you come in and take it from the Indians? Well, the way I always understood it is God gave us the land, you know, and he told us to take it. It's a Christian nation. We took it for the name of God, you know, and which I know, like, you know, me and Dennis has watched a lot of Westerns. That's Dennis's thing. He loves Westerns. And, you know, you can learn a lot from them about our history. And some of the things I look back and I'm like, ugh, you know, like, I can't believe the white people did that. You know, the way they treated the black people back then is horrible, you know. And you see this and you think, oh, it's terrible the way that they did that type of deal. But, you know, reading this, though, you see why a lot of things were taken in the name of God, you know, and the United States, I believe, was taken in the name of God to worship, to be able to worship God freely. So we ended up turning the Indians towards Christianity, which now is being used against us because
Even with Hank Kuhneman, I noticed on his worship team that he has a bunch of natives up there dancing, you know, in their native dress, which I'm sure, you know, up there where he's at in Iowa, or he's near Iowa, that's probably really big, you know, in their culture up there. But, you know, to them, you know, they feel like we came here and we stole their land, you know, type of deal. But going in this situation with Joshua, because I'm surely not here to argue about all that, but I only brought that up because of Joshua. You know, he went in there into this city and God told him, burn it to the ground. He burned that city to the ground. Utterly destroyed it. You know, so everything on there was destroyed. All the sin. And you'll discover that too when we go through the judgment thing. Okay. Is that everything that touches. This is why I'm telling you, get out of these places that are partnering with the beast. Okay? Because everything that touches will be judged. That is the pattern of God. He says, touch not the unclean thing. Okay? And so, a deceit is a deceit. It's still a lie. Okay? For Joshua, and so it was that fell on that day, verse 25, both of men and women were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back wherein he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. 27. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai. Okay, now let's pause right here in verse 27 when he says that they took the cattle and the spoil. Do y'all remember, you know, we've been talking about today about Moses. I can't believe it's already 10 o'clock. What the world? You talk about Moses. All right, Moses, the children of Israel did that before they left the city, didn't they? The children of Israel took the spoil of the Egyptians, you know. Okay, so let's continue here. So in verse 28, Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide, which means evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city. In other words, treat like dung. Throw it. And raise thereon a great heap of stones that remained unto this day. And Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Pause. Okay, these are memorials. Notice right here in the previous verse in 29 where he talked about casting the king, throwing the king. And then he said to put a stack of stones over it to make an altar. It's not really an altar, but a place of memorial. So that everybody that comes by this place will remember what God did. This king is buried under these rocks. This town was utterly destroyed because God said so. Now, Joshua did just like Noah and everybody else. They all build these altars whenever God does something to remember by. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man has lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. That right there, preach, I could do a whole nother 2 hours on this one. Remember how I told you in Bible college we're going to study the tabernacle? The tabernacle. Because actually the next one, it starts in March. It'll be the next one. You'll learn about this.
the altar of whole stones, which means pure, nothing mixed, nothing tainted, whole, the way God meant it to be, pure. No man had lifted up any iron. Nobody tried to make it a trans rock. Nobody tried to distort it, disfigure, dismember. Unalive, really, being a human because they're no longer human. Has lifted up any iron, and they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses. Ain't that beautiful? Which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and the officers and their judges stood on the side the ark, on this side the ark, and on that side before the priest, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There is not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. So everybody that considered themselves children of Israel or was associated with them all sat together and listened as he read the law, which meant they were honoring God and all of his commandments, because the children needed to hear it, the adults needed to hear it, so that they have a better understanding. Isn't that an awesome story? I really enjoyed it. I took a lot of notes. Let me look at my notes to make sure I say everything on this recording. Okay, so here's my roundup of all this. Here we go. So as I read you earlier from my journal, God's command on the assignment was this. When he told him, this is what I want you to do to Ai, this is what he said. Do as you did in Jericho and her king. Number two. I will give you the king, the people, the city, and the land. Number three, take only the spoil, the cattle, and a prey. Four, lay an ambush for the city behind it. Now, here's Joshua's actions. He chose 30,000 men of valor. Then he gave them their assignment. Number two, he told the second company to take the city when the army leaves. And A, part of the number two, God will, he was telling his men, he will give you the city. The Lord will deliver it into your hand. See, he was confident, wasn't he? Then I want you to set the city on fire. And this is God's commandment, as I am commanding you. So Joshua and his army did. So God gave the order, but Joshua carried it out. So after they lured Ai men into battle, the Lord spoke to Joshua before they took the city all the way after Joshua's orders and said, stretch out your hands towards Ai, for I will give it to your hand. Then Joshua stretched out his spear that he had in his hand toward the city. So here we go. They entered, took it, hasted, set on fire. Then they slew the men of Ai. None of them remained or escaped. the king of Ai was alive, and they took him to Joshua. The men and the women were killed that day, 12,000, all the men of Ai. He destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. They took the cattle and the spoil. The king of Ai, he hung on a tree until dark. And then they took him down, made a grave at the entrance of Ai in a heap of stones. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord to remember this battle at Mount Ebal. So there you go. The moral of the story today is this. When God gives you assignment, because see, we're coming to a day we're not going to be able to communicate anymore. Each of us are going to be soldiers in our own territory, in our own missions, and doing what God has called us to do on our own. We are being trained and have been trained for a while to hear his voice, because we need to know what to do and not be operated by our emotions, because the Bible says in the last days that men will have heart attacks because of fear. They will be so scared over what they see. We need to know what the word of the Lord is for us and our region. What God has called each of you guys where you live for such a time as this, okay? Many people, of course, you know, since 2020 have moved and they have, you know, restructured and did all this other stuff. But where you're at now, God has planted you. By this point, God has just planted you there. Okay, so now you're there for a reason, and there's no one that's going to be able to escape. It doesn't matter how far in a cave you think you are, how far in the country you think you are to get away from the city. There is no one that's going to be able to escape. Every one of us are in the same boat. I don't care what country you're in, what city, state, nothing. We all are facing the same beast. There are satellites all over this world, and they're over every town and province. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So every one of us are in the same boat. Yes, there are degrees of severity. If you're in a city around all the 5G, of course, you know, you're going to get it faster and harder before other people, of course. But no one is going to escape it, okay? Like Miss Dorothy, okay, she preached yesterday, you know, because on Wednesdays, everybody has the floor for 10 minutes. So she preached and she talked about it. She said, you know what? Years ago, God moved me to this city, Tampa Bay. She said, I didn't know why God brought me here. I didn't even want to be here. But God brought her there. And he supplied her a place to live, and she's still living there. But she knows that she is there and for such a time as this. It is what it is. And this is for all of you. No matter what lot you have, what lack you have, the suffering you're going through, it is what it is at this point. But God knows, and he still wants to use you in the midst of that. You're all about to step into 2025, the most turbulent time we have ever lived in. Because not only are we facing just the devil, you know, like we normally are as Christians in our spiritual warfare walk. But now we are battling the Antichrist with his false prophet, and his entire army is at the door. You know, the wolf is at the door screaming really loud right now, trying to blow our house down. You know, this is what we're stepping into in 2025. But God is preparing his army. Like I read in Ezekiel, you know, God told Ezekiel, don't look at their face. I have made your forehead as flint, baby.
I made your forehead strong to face the enemy you are going to face. Don't you think God can do the same for us? The others may have the name of the beast on their forehead. Come on now. But God is going to make our forehead like flint. We will be able to face these monsters and demons because God is going to be with us. He's going to equip us from the top of our head to the sole of our feet with the fire and the power of God. I believe that with everything that's in me, that God is going to be with us. Even when you look at the great people in the days of old, they were put in jail. These people were arrested. Even in the Old Testament, there were people that had to go through all kinds of things. But God was with them, and He will be with us. Do you remember Samson? When he knew that he had disappointed God, the one that he loved. Remember Samson, he grew the long hair and that was his strength. And he caved into this woman who had deceived him. And she cut off his hair and he lost his power. And he knew that he had disappointed the one that he loved. And he's standing there before he dies. In between two pillars of this building of the evil empire of that day. And what did Samson say? He said, God, will you remember me? Will you, Lord? Will you give me the strength to tear down this house? That's my last wish, Lord. I just wanted to crash on all these, you know. I wanted to crash on all these evil people, you know. And God gave him his wish. He granted his wish. And he had so much power, he knocked down the pillars and the building crashed in on those evil people. You don't know what God can do in your mess. It's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. That's how we're going to be able to do this. We can't do any of this. We can't fight that Antichrist by ourselves. You crazy? We can't fight all these people that are becoming in the hive mind. We cannot do this without the Lord. We're utterly dependent upon our King, ain't we? But we know that we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will be coming back on his white horse, and he will get his revenge at that time. But right now in our heart, we live with eternity in our focus, don't we? As the army of the living God, we look forward with our eyes focused on heaven, not on this earth and what we see and the tragedy thereof. It's on heaven. Our eternal hope and our eternal glory. So what happens between here and that point when we step into glory is where we're at right now. Because we want to be used by God, don't we? Whatever time span that is, God's the one in control of time. Whatever that is, if you could take a measuring stick and measure from the point you're at right now to the point of the end when you cross over into glory. Let's say it's 5 years, 5 days, 5 months, 5 weeks. Whatever it is from here to that point. God, I want to make the most of my time. I do not want to be led by fear. I want to be led by the faith that I have in you, Lord. I want to have your face upon me. I don't want to be swayed by the eyes and the opinions of others, Lord. I want to have your opinion, and I want to have heaven in my eyesight. I don't want to behold the enemy and all of his plots and plans and him try to put fear on me. I want to behold my King, who is the solution to this problem. So I just thank you, Lord, that whatever that road is that we have left and the time frame that we have left, that it would be the most, the maximus, the most powerful time we have ever lived on this earth. We want to see your glory. We want to see you move in this earth. We want to see the earth react. We want to see the earth move. We want to see the partnership of earth and heaven. And we want to be a part of it, don't we, Bride? We want to be where the earth, the trees, the grass of the fields, the birds of the air know who we are. And I believe they do. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The birds will sing to the Lord. The earth will swallow the vomit. The blood that cries from the earth and talks to God. The mountains that move just by his presence. We want to be a part of this cooperation that God has with the earth because it all belongs to him. Amen. Which means when God calls us on a mission, all of that has to work with us, right? Right? So we need to know our authority, which is going to be semester number one. We need to know who we are in Christ and our authority. Show us your glory, Lord. Everybody lift your hand right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I surrender all today. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for all that I have done to fail you. Lord, keep my heart pliable. Forgive me for pride. Forgive me for disappointing you, Lord. Heal me and deliver me today, Lord. Make me into your image. And use me for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, Pastor. Will you say hi to everybody? I just finished my sermon.
Just finished your sermon.
At 10:30.
Yeah.
So we've been going 3 hours.
3 hour sermon. Man.
It was a really good one.
Remember you just said something about long winded?
All right, I receive it. I receive it, sir.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you pray for us because I'm fixing to open up the prayer lines.
Oh, I suppose.
I thank you.
Well, God, we just thank you for that.
He just got the goats in. Okay.
Thank you for another day, Lord, of providing all our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus, Lord. We thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper.
Yes, Lord.
Spirit, soul, and body. We thank you that no sickness, disease, calamity, all the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against us.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
So we just thank you, Lord, and give you all the praise and honor and glory for protecting us, leading us, and guiding us in such a time as this.
Yes, Lord.
And providing all our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus, Lord. Amen.
Yes, amen. Now, I just got to tell you this. Pastor, it went 3 hours because this is an overflow from being up all night in intercession.
Uh-huh.
All right, Brad, let me stop the recording here, and I'm going to put you on hold a minute so I can... All right, we opened up the prayer lines, and the first lady brought up a good point. We need to pray for the bride that is facing things that they know in their own strength. They cannot run physically. They're facing challenges health-wise and even other obstacles. I mean, what if they're there taking care of their husband that's in a wheelchair? There's many reasons why
you know, many different things why people would be stuck where they're at and would just have to go through it or whatever. So let's all come together and let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we are your people. And your word says that when two or more agree is touching anything, Lord, that that prayer will be answered. And Lord, your word also says that when two or more are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst of them. Now, thank you, Lord, that you're here with us this morning on December the 20th of 2024. And I thank you, Lord, that you know what is in our tomorrow. And you know the limitations thereof in everybody's life that is listening. You know what they're facing. And their limitations could be many different things, Lord. But before your eyes, it's considered a limitation. But we ask today that you would give them the grace is what they need to overcome when that happens tomorrow. Because just as you are with us today, and you're going to be with us all day today, you're going to give us the grace to overcome today. You will be with us there tomorrow. And no matter what limitations we have, you already know it. And you are well enough to send us angels, to send us help, to have us maneuver around the beast, to send us help, whatever. You know exactly what it's going to take for us to overcome in that moment. So right now, over here on this part of time, before all this happens, we just want to praise you. We just want to praise you because we know you're already there. You're already over there. You have wrote all this before time began. And our job as the church is to trust in you. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to praise you in the midst of the storm. When they beat the door down and we know we have no way in our natural to be, we're just going to lift our hands and start singing. We just worship you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Our glorification has come. We worship your holy name, Lord, because it's going down. We just want to give you glory, Lord, right now for being with us over there and giving us the strength to do what we have to do and to go through what we have to go through, because nothing will be done without your approval. So we just thank you and we're worshiping you right now, giving you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Because we can truly do all things with you, Lord. We do put our faith and trust in you for our tomorrow, just like we're trusting you for our today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, sister. That is awesome bringing that up. We could address it. Okay, y'all need to know this. One of the callers brought it up about what's happening in Kenya. I did not know this. First of all, I just want to say this. I feel so sorry for the country of Africa. What they're doing to black people, like with the way that they've done them, is just so sad. But anyway, groundbreaking biometric tech brings Kenyan newborns a new biometric vaccination management system designed in Japan. Ha! Trump just had Japan. Did y'all see that video yesterday? Promises great impact in Kenya and beyond. Kenyan babies are not targets of Bill Gates' plot to implant. What a farce. We are not inserting chips into babies. These are all the people rebutting this. Government dismisses claims that newborns will be implanted. right, let's read what they say, though, from Gavi. See, that's what gets you. You'll have the main source like Gavi or the United Nations whenever they took over on September 22nd of 2024, and you tell people, just go to their website. You know, because you'll have all these other medias bunking it, debunking it. But the actual truth, now, I don't know if this is because I haven't read it, but let's look real quick. Okay. A new biometric vaccination management system designed in Japan promises great impact in Kenya and beyond. Okay. The project is very good and important to me because even if the clinic book for my baby gets lost, I still get the same data here in the hospital. Sometimes they phone me as a reminder to take the baby to any health facility for vaccination. This is very good because by the end of the day, this is a mother talking. By the end of the day, I have saved my baby's life and also I've saved money that I could have used just in case the baby fell ill for lack of being vaccinated. Wow. All right, here we go. So some 2,000 children have been enrolled in the clinical trial of the biometric-based vaccination management system since September of 2022. The system, which is being tested at Kanago Sub-County Hospital by the Kenyan Medical Research Institute, the NEC Corporation, and Nagasaki University Institute of Tropical Medicine, uses the fingerprints of children as young as 2 hours of age and the voice imprints, ooh, this is creepy, of their caregivers, with the aim ultimately of improving real-time record management and expanding vaccination coverage. Tagulu, an 18-year-old first-time mother from Chibandiango, the process evidently seemed as strange as it is novel. The nurse took my baby's finger and put something that was blinking on her finger. Then after that, they took a picture of her. For me, I was given a paper which had some writings to read so that my voice will be recorded. This is terrible. The purpose, however, was clear. I am told that this process will show vaccination history of my baby, and it will also be used to send me an alert to remind on my mobile phone to inform me to take this child for vaccination at the hospital. Now, here's the thing. By her repeating their sentence, which they're recording to make a digital ID of her and a digital ID of the daughter, is the authorization for them to have the rights to that daughter. Okay. Rukia Hassan Ali, a supervisor at this Institute of Tropical Medicine, formerly established Kenya Research Station, which sits inside KIMRI, is in charge of the biometric vaccination management system, speaking to Vaccines Work, Ali said, before any data is taken. The researchers seek informed caregiver consent. Bam! Bam, bam, bam! What did I tell you? That was her consent. Yep. All right, now, because why? She followed their order in agreement and read this thing. The first step is to make sure we get consent from the mother as evidence that shows that she has accepted to participate in this research. We explain to her what we do and why we're taking the details. If she accepts, she signs the consent document, and we immediately start the process of registering her and the infant. We take her names, as indicated in her national identification card, details of the physical place where she resides, and her phone number. Marrying those details to unique vocal patterns and fingerprint whorls allows the system to confirm identities when reliable managing vaccination histories and schedules. Can you believe that? The voice of the caregiver never changes. There is a code in our computer, so once she speaks, the computer will automatically identify her voice and the profile of both the caregiver and the infant will open. Isn't that creepy? Eunice is the mother of a four-month-old baby who was also registered at birth for the biometric vaccination system. This project is very good and important to me because even if the clinic books my baby gets lost, I still get the same data here in the hospital. All right, let's see here. The aim is for the biometric vaccination management system to roll out widely in the coming period. The professor said that the team had chosen Kinango for the trial because it's reasonably representative of the country at large. The majority of our Kenyan population is rural. When we are working in Kimri, we have to see where the impact is, so we chose here because it's a typical rural area. This technology promises a significant impact on Kenya and Africa at large. This is one technology that we noted will be of great significance to the country. Isn't that sad? All it is monitoring this family. What's the date on this thing? January 16th. All right, let's see. Biotech to Kenya. Let's look at this and see what's happened since then. All right, let's see here. Kenya unveils. This is May, October, November. Okay, I guess the newest thing we have is November 25th. All right. Biometric update. Kenya factors in biometrics in 3-year digital government plan. The government of Kenya called Huduma Kenya Digitalization Plan aligns the country's digitalization agenda to deepen and expand access to digital government services through the introduction of new platforms such as centralized biometric system and digital ID ecosystem that's being worked. 3-year plan goes from 2023 and 24 to 25 and 26. So it stops in 26, huh? Look at this. Keyless looks at promising 2025 after major growth, new hires in 2024. A release from Keyless says the London-based biometrics and passwordless authentication firm had a milestone in 2024. Civic launches tool to ease Web3 onboarding and sign-ins. See, you got me going, woman. How dare you, Kimberly?
I didn't mean
what to. A farce, woman.
I meant to tell you, but I have to forget.
Well, it is true what's happening over there, and that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
All right, Kimberly, I got to move on because I got to leave. I got an appointment. All right, let's move on to Mr. Jesse. Jesse, I'm so happy to have you here this morning. How are you feeling, sir? And I do want to say that the devil is a liar for messing with you, sir. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we all come together in agreement for Jesse. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. All them that rise up against him shall fall. He is the head and not the tail. He is above and not beneath. He is healed. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for sending angels to Jesse from the north, south, east, and west, Lord. We thank you for healing every cell in his body, Lord, and restoring to him everything that the devil has stolen, Lord. We thank you, God, for moving on his behalf, Lord, moving in his family, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are the healer, and that is what we depend upon today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Are you with us, sir? All right. Well, he must be busy or something. Let's move on to Dorothy in Florida. How you doing, Miss Dorothy?
I'm doing good. I was just thinking about what you said this morning about sometimes God tells us to do things and we don't understand it, but that final instruction, because that happened to me, I think I was in 2022 or 2023 in January, because I know that I used to be in a church. I used to be in a church with a pastor. Anyway, she lived in Atlanta now. But anyway, I think now it was in January. The spirit came to me and said, call Pastor Ford, I can forgive you. I thought I was hearing things. Then he said it again. Say, call Pastor Ford, I tell her, I can forgive you. The second time I said, I don't know why she called Pastor Ford. I ain't did nothing to her. I just left her church and that was all I did. And then he said, call Pastor Ford, I can forgive you. That time I called her. I called her. I said, I don't know what I did, but God must have known I did something. So I called her, and I asked her to forgive me. I don't think she accepted, but I did what God told me to do. So that's all that counts. Because I was obedient to God. I obeyed God because He told me to call, and I said, forgive me for whatever I did. I must have did something because He told me to call her. So that's why I was thinking about it more. I didn't understand that, but I still called her though.
Now what happened? Did she forgive you?
I don't think so. She said she did because she kept saying, you hurt me. I guess because I left the church. But anyway, I'm so sorry if I hurt you. I asked you to forgive me. So I don't know what she did or not, but I did what God told me to do. So that's all I could do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was obedient. I didn't understand, but I still called in a way.
That's right. Maybe it takes the coals off your head.
I know that's right, because I could not have called. I was skeptical, because I didn't know I did nothing or not, but I still, that voice said it the third time, I knew I said it must be God, because it said it three times, told me to call it the third time, that's when I called. But
yeah.
I thought I was here, I thought it was the devil, because the devil can tell you to do nothing right, but I know that. He going to tell you, I can buy forgiveness, not the peace saying. He's going to tell you that, I forgive him, because he wants you to stay in his, but keep following him.
I hear you.
But I'm doing good though.
That's good, darling. I'm gonna move on, Miss Dorothy. Okay, sweetie.
Okay, then. Love you. Have a good day.
Well, I love you too, and you have a Merry Christmas, young lady. You hear me?
You have a Merry Christmas too. Okay.
Bye. All right. Now listen, what Dorothy was saying is. You know, earlier in the conversation, about 100 hours ago, when we started, this kind of reminds me of our nine-hour shows. Remember those days? Anywho, she was saying, you know, when I was saying that whatever God tells you to do something, you do it even though you don't understand. So she said, God would not leave her alone and kept telling her, you have got to call this woman and ask her to forgive you. So she's telling God, I don't think I did anything. Like, she had no idea why God was having her do this. But she called that woman, and that woman laid in on her, boy. She let her know how the cow ate the cabbage, how much she hurt her. But she had no idea. Isn't that something? But God knew it was hurting that other woman. So God had Miss Dorothy settle the matter, because until you do, the coal is on your head. And then when you make it right with them, it puts it back on their head, whether they accept it or not. All right, so let's see who's next here. Okay, let's move on. Daryl. Yo, 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 Daryl is in the house. How you doing, sir?
Oh, Dr. June, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. I've got something to tell you that the Lord has put upon my head.
Oh, I can't wait to hear. Well, wait a minute. Should I record it? Oh, my God. I never turned the recording off.
Go
ahead with your testimony.
This is something that is happening to me in real time. And this is what the Lord is telling me to tell everyone. I have repented. And I asked the Lord to forgive me, but here's what happened, is that I was not listening to the Lord. In fact, I was not even seeking the Lord. And about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, me and my wife decided, well, we've been married 42 years, and we're going to go on our world trip. Okay, so, you know, I'm like, this is great. You know, God's going to bless us, blah, blah, blah. Did I go to the Lord? No, I did not. I just said, well, it's all a blessing. We're just going to go. I'm not going to ask God, blah, blah, blah. So we went through everything, and we went through ups and downs, and at times it didn't look good and this and that and all this stuff. So this is why the only thing I can tell you at this moment is why when Dr. June says we need to take everything to the Lord, that is the absolute truth we do, because we don't know what the will of the Lord is. And if we try to go against that, the will of the Lord's going to be done no matter what. Now, I will tell you that I had always struggled with, you know, when Paul said, through my weakness, I become strong. And I never quite understood that. But this is the first time I have understood that. Okay, so anyway, we go on this trip. We go on this trip from December the 8th through December the 16th. It takes us down to this cruise, takes us down to Mexico, takes us to Belize, Honduras. We come back. We're doing good. Well, anyway, we get back into town. Everything seems fine. My wife yesterday says, oh, you know, I'm feeling really dizzy. I feel like I got vertigo, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, you know, you'll get over it. It was a hard flight, et cetera, et cetera. So she said to me yesterday, well, it's getting worse. It's getting worse, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this morning I'm getting ready for work, and my sister-in-law comes over. She's going to go ahead and take her to the hospital to see what's going on. And I will just read you the text that I got from my wife just a few moments ago. And let's see if I can find it, because this is the way God does us. It is so amazing. Okay, so this came in at about 1 hour ago, and it says, she's texting me, getting IV fluids and medicine for vertigo, have labs out, figure out what is going on. Okay, here we go, bride. You got to listen to this. This is why we put all of our faith in the Lord, and we don't do anything except do it when the Lord says. Okay, so here we go. Doctor registered me in the CDC list since we were out of the country to see if there is any other reports of similar issues like mine. Now, I have repented this morning. I have got down on my face. I have said, Lord Jesus, please, please forgive me for not looking to you first, but just going ahead for my own fleshly thing. Now, there's another part to this, bride, I got to tell you. God put this in my heart this morning and said, I needed to spank you to let you know that you were not listening to me, that you were just doing this on your own, that you thought we're going to have a good time, we're going to go out, this is a blessing, but you did not listen to me. So I had to look in my spirit and I had to say, Lord, if I wouldn't have done this, would I have continued down this path? And the Lord gave me confirmation, yes, you would have. So at this point, I don't know what's going to happen. She could not, maybe she'll be fine. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe we will get on a quarantine list. I don't know. But here's the thing. When Paul said, through your weakness, we become strong. This is what God is talking about. Because when we do things out of our own flesh, when we do things out of what we want, then God has to spank us, and it's for our own good, bride. And I'll tell you something, there's a piece of understanding that's over me right now I've never had in my whole life. I've been a Christian since 1978. I was in the military. Like a lot of people, I drifted away. I came back and rededicated my life when COVID hit in 2020. But this is why we need, as the bride of Christ, to just say, wait a second, this is not about me. This is not about what I deserve. It doesn't matter if you've been married 42 years and you think you need something that is going to be the trip of all trips and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't matter. What matters is what God's going to do in your life. And I'll tell you something. Even through this problem, even through this situation, I know God's going to prevail. And I know that I needed this spanking on the butt to say, no, you can't go down this road. You have to listen to me for all things. So Dr. June and I just pray right now for the will of the Lord to be done, that we go ahead and whatever his will is, that we continue down that path. And I will tell you something, Bride. Yes, this seems very whatever. It seems like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, this tragedy, blah, blah, could possible tragedy and all like that. But what is more important? That you are spanked on the butt once and said, wait, you need to follow me or continue down that path. And then in 2025 or 2026, when it's possible that all the Christians go into quarantine, then what happens? This is like, this is funny, Dr. June. This is like an inoculation from the Lord. You know, you talk about the vax from the world. This is like the vax from the Lord saying, okay, you got it. Now you got to see the realness of it. So Dr. June, I just pray that, you know, that the bride will keep me in prayer, and I will have an uplifting testimony, no matter what happens, letting you know what's going on. And I will tell you also, this marathon that you've been on, there is a main reason for it. It's supposed to happen. You know that. Dennis knows that and everything. But there are so many people that just need you right now as a servant of God to be able to be, you know, a friend in Christ, et cetera, you know. And so, you know, God's shown you that. But this is a testimony, Bride. This is a major testimony. And, you know, I listened, Dr. June, about what you said about your son going to Argentina. And, yeah. No, this is true. We even as the dark clouds approach, we've had it so good, and we just have to realize that through all, you know, with God, all things are possible. Am I concerned? Of course I'm concerned, but this is making me go in the prayer closet even more and getting on my face and saying, Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done.
Well, let me just say this, Daryl, thank you so much for coming on this line and being transparent with us and, you know, bringing us in your family and what your family is facing. But I did a little research while you was talking. It is actually a normal thing what happened to your wife. It's a thing called maldebarkment syndrome is what they call it.
Yes.
Yes. But it's after a cruise where people lose their equilibrium kind of deal, and it takes a little while to get back. But what I'm concerned about is what they said about why they had to bring the CDC in on something that just seems to be normal.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and that's, you know, she explained to me because we were out of the country that that's why they had to put her on a list. And see if there was any other symptoms for other people, you know, that are going on this and everything like that. So, you know, again, we have to realize that through our weakness, he makes us strong. And, you know, honestly, I think that the biggest learning experience, the biggest thing that I got out of this whole thing is the first thing God showed me when I was praying about it this morning is just asking me the question, if this wouldn't have happened, would you continue going down this path of trusting me sometimes, trusting me not sometimes, you know, thinking, well, you know, I've been married 42 years, I deserve this or whatever. And I answered the Lord and I said, yes, Lord, I probably would have. And so, Bride, that is the that is the thing we have to realize is that we can't play, you know, patty cake with God. Even in, you know, we could think that until the cows come home that, you know, I deserve this. I've been such a good husband for 42 years and I have done this and I've done that. We deserve a cruise. Well, if God says yes, then yes. But did I go to him and ask him, Lord, should we go there? No, I did not. I did not do that. And I prayed this morning because the funny thing about it, in my spirit mind, I, even before this, I kept thinking, well, maybe I should, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then I thought, nah, you know, how many of us have ever thought that? Like, nah, God won't care. That's fine. You know, you don't have to take that to him. This is a blessing, you know, no big deal. It's kind of like what you talk about with NAR, right? It's like, ah, this is a blessing, mm-hmm. you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's not the point. The point is that how is God going to be able to make you strong in Christ? And when we bring these things to him, that's how he makes us strong. That's how he makes us strong.
Yes, it is. And I do want to, you know, really celebrate the fact that you understood it was a time of repentance. And let's all gather together and let's pray for his wife. Lord, we just pray for Daryl's wife, Lord, that you would heal her, Lord. And we pray that you would protect her from the V and from all of their plans of giving a jab while they go to the hospital or whatever, Lord. And that you would deliver her in every way, heal her in every way. And we just thank you for restoring her body, her equilibrium, and her water system and everything, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that Daryl come on here today, Lord, to share his experience and to help everybody to know that before we do anything, traveling or anything, we need to pray about it in this day and hour. And we pray that this list that they're on with the CDC, Lord, that you would hide them. Hide them in the name of Jesus, Lord. So we thank you for the wonderful time they did have, Lord, in spite of all this, and for the memories that they will have from this, Lord. And we just pray that you help them when she's restored to really celebrate the time that they've had together being married, Lord, these 42 years of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brother, I love you coming on here. Thank you, thank you. All right, now let's move on to our last one. This is Leslie Ann. Good morning, Miss Leslie Ann. How you doing?
Good morning. Short and long.
Good morning. Okay.
Okay.